Welcome to the podcast. Jeff Wolf is a revivalist, author, and the founder and president of Resurgence, a Cincinnati-based nonprofit organization on a mission to minister to the ministry. We're so glad to have you today. Here's Jeff.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well today. I want to have a discussion with you about anxiety and depression. I'm doing this series on the podcast for the next couple of weeks on the book that I released just a couple of weeks ago entitled Mindemic, How Faith Can Help Us to Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America. If you have a family or friend, a family member or friend who's dealing with anxiety and depression, I would encourage you to send them a link to this podcast, whether it be on audio or video on YouTube, so that they can benefit from the discussion that we're going to have today. So let me ask you a question. Anxiety, depression, emotional pain, but specifically those two things, are they spiritual issues? Are they physical issues, meaning they deal with your brain, the physical organ in your skull? Or are they soul issues or mind issues? The answer is yes. This problem, this issue that is so prevalent that 4 in 10 Americans are dealing with it, is all three. And I'm going to share with you why. This book is not just a sermon in print. This book is something that came about because of a passion and a need in the subject of anxiety and depression that touches my family. And so it just caused me to start digging into the pertinent subject matter, into the Word of God, and begin to really wrap my mind around what anxiety and depression really is and how to be free from it. I want you to be free from anxiety and depression, like the Lord has delivered me from that constant daily bombardment of anxiety and depression, the battle in my mind. I want you to be free. Now, there's a lot of books out there written about anxiety and depression. There's a lot of books out there, spiritual and otherwise, to help you that deal with the battle of the mind. My goal here is not to repeat what you've heard, but to kind of dig into some of the things under the surface that need to be addressed. And of course, healing is never possible. Listen to me now. Healing must always include God in the equation. And perhaps the reason that mental illness in the world, specifically for our discussion in the United States, is such a huge problem, a pandemic of the mind, a mindemic, is because God is nowhere near mental health care. I found this out when I began to dig into medical journals and academic publications by psychiatrists, psychologists, and those in the field, that there is no God anywhere. There's no mention of the divine intervention of our Creator. It's all about philosophy. It's all about the medical, physiological study of the brain. It's all about the mind. No one's talking about God. And this is what I picked up. When I began to do my research, I realized no one's talking about God. And I told you about Dr. Koenig, the director for theology and health at Duke University. He's got so many titles, and they're long, and I forget what they are. Sometimes I have to look before I say it. But you can find his resume by going to the Duke website and searching his name. He's the one that explained to me why God is nowhere in mental health care. He said that, of course, Sigmund Freud came along, who believed that faith in God and the practice of faith was basically a neurosis, a psychological problem. He believed that people that could believe in a God and creation were mentally ill. And so because he shaped the mental health care field for 100 years, after his death, even to this day, the Freudian philosophy permeates the mental health care field in America, that God is nowhere near it. And so God has been divorced from the field of mental health care, psychology, psychiatry, counseling, in terms of treatment. But he brought up a good point. He said before Freud and before there were mental hospitals and before there were counselors and before there were medical doctors who specialized in psychiatry, there was the church. There was ministry. And that ministry was a de facto mental health system before the mental health field even came to be. And so God was who people turned to minister to their needs and to bring healing to them in their mental health care before there were ever psychiatrists and psychologists and professionals in the field. And what I learned about ministry, listen to me, pastors, what I learned about ministry is all of the pastoral counseling that I did. Now, I'm not clinical pastoral education trained. I'm not CPE trained. I'm not a licensed counselor. But in the ministry and pastoral ministry, for all the years I've spent in it, I was giving biblical counsel from a pastor's perspective. And so in that counseling, I was engaging in mental health care. Did you know, I shared this last week, I'm going to do it again, that clergy in the United States delivers almost as many counseling hours as the entire American Psychological Association. Think about that. Because people go to their pastor, they go to their spiritual leaders and fathers for health care. And so, but the mental health care field came along and God and faith was divorced from mental health care by those who began to study and teach it. And so mental health care was, things like anxiety and depression were thought to be issues with the brain, all right? They were physiological. And then, of course, philosophy comes along, and philosophy is very complicated, and it makes you think, and sometimes it dumbfounds you because there's some crazy things in the field of philosophy. But philosophy came in and began to talk about the mind being separate from the brain, that they are two separate entities. So as I began to dig into this, I realized that we're talking about the mind or the soul of man, the mind of man separate from the brain, in terms of philosophy being the source of anxiety and depression. And we're talking about the physical brain. In other words, anxiety and depression is a medical thing. But where is the spiritual issue? As a pastor, and in my own personal belief system that has been heavily challenged in this search for answers that I have embarked upon, as a pastor, as a believer, I have felt like there is an element of these mental issue problems, anxiety and depression, those kind of things, that was a spiritual attack of the enemy. And I'll say, I'll be transparent enough to say and embarrassed when I say it, that I often dismissed mental health care because I believed that it was more of a spiritual problem than a medical problem. But here's what I've come to realize. I've come to realize that it is a balance of all three. It's a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem, and it is a mind problem. All right? So these are the kind of things that I begin to learn, and I also learned that Jesus dealt with mental health care. You're never going to find the words mental health care or mental illness in the New Testament. But think about this. Think about it. There was anxiety and depression present in the New Testament. Think about Jesus and the woman at the well. He didn't perform a healing in terms of a physical miracle in her life, but he certainly did heal her of something. What was it? He healed her of emotional pain. I don't care who you are. You cannot survive five failed marriages unscathed. You're going to have baggage. You're going to have issues like, you know, we often talk about her as if she's the villain in this story, that she is the vile sinner, this Samaritan woman in this story, regardless of whether she was or she wasn't the villain. Think about this woman having 5 failed marriages, and realize what she must have had in her emotional baggage. Perhaps it's rejection. Perhaps it's abuse. There's all kinds of things that she could be experiencing. So when Jesus came to her and began to minister to her, it wasn't a physical miracle. It was a spiritual miracle. God healed her of emotional pain, perhaps even anxiety and depression. So Jesus cared about the mind just like he cared about the body. He cared about the spirit as he cared about the body. The scripture teaches us that we are body, mind, or soul, and spirit. I use the words mind and soul interchangeably because of the word studies that I've done in the scripture. So those are that is the triune being of a human being. We believe that God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and he created us in his image. We also have a triune existence, being body, the physical body, your soul, which is also your mind, and your spirit. And so if we are body, mind, and spirit, then we must be healed, body, mind, and spirit. Now, I came to believe as I began to study this material, this information, that my own belief systems that I said have been challenged in this pursuit of information. I came to believe that anxiety and depression is not just a brain problem, but it is a brain problem. It's not just a mind problem, but it is a mind problem. It's not just a spiritual problem, but it is a spiritual problem. And I came to the conclusion that you have to allow all three of those to be treated. God can treat all three of them. Doctors can only treat your brain, your physical body. Counselors can only affect your mind or bring some sort of healing to your mind, but only God can heal your spirit. But God can use doctors, and God can use counselors. So if you go to a spiritual, a Christian counselor, there's nothing wrong with that. If there is something physically off in your brain that causes some of the anxiety and depression, there's even studies out there that some of it is genetic, that it's not something that develops from trauma in your life. It's genetic. Then there may be a need for a physical doctor to be involved and for medication to be prescribed. Now, this is a stigmatic discussion in the church because we don't want to take medicine because we don't want to be labeled. We don't want to go to counselors because we don't want to be labeled. We want to ignore the problem and just believe that God's going to heal us. And I believe God can. I don't want to challenge theology. I believe God can. But I believe God can also use doctors, and he can also use counselors. He can use pastors and chaplains. Now, if your body is sick, if you have a disease in your body, you're going to go to a doctor, because you believe God can use doctors. But why then, if you are sick in your mind and your brain, would you not go to a doctor? Now, I'm not discounting the healing power of God. I'm not discounting the spiritual side of this. I'm saying that we can't, as believers, just focus on the spiritual side and discount and dismiss that anxiety and depression also affects our minds and our physical bodies. It's not just a spiritual problem. It's not just a brain problem, meaning the physical body. It's not just a mind problem, meaning our mind and our soul. And it's not just a spiritual problem. It's all three. All three are involved. All right. So that's how I began to frame from my research this information. Here's what's interesting, and here's what is powerful. Okay. There are people in the field of psychology and psychiatry, specifically the medical side, that are researching the connection between faith and religious belief and the healing and treatment of anxiety and depression. And this is where the connection comes in the book. What they're finding, there are studies that are published. I've included some of them in the book. Some of them have been done specifically by Dr. Harold Koenig at Duke. They're finding that there is clinical proof, clinical evidence that faith and prayer positively affects anxiety and depression and emotional pain. Did you hear what I said? Faith in God and prayer and scripture have a positive effect. In other words, a healing effect on anxiety and depression. Now, this is what the medical health field, the mental health field rather, has been ignoring for a century. They've said that everything that happens is a subject of our brain. Of course, there's two schools of thought. There's materialists who only believe the brain, that the mind or the thought process is just a product of the brain. And there are those that are dualists that believe that the brain is one thing and the mind is another. There's evidence out there, a cardiologist whose name skips me for the moment, who did research, does massive amounts of research on people who undergo that experience a death, a cardiac arrest, but then when they bring them back through CPR and AEDs and that kind of thing, that they remember things that doctors or nurses said, things that they heard while their body was clinically dead. This doctor says that when someone experiences a cardiac arrest, that your brain shuts off. So if that is true, then the brain is separate from the mind, because when someone's gone into cardiac arrest and their brain shuts off, their mind keeps going and they bring them back, their brain comes on, but they remember, they can recall things that they have heard while their brain was shut off. So there is the reason for the belief in dualism, that your brain, your physical brain, and your mind are two separate things. Of course, we know they are, because the mind and the soul lives beyond the physical body. Aren't you glad that science, when it begins to look into the creation of God, always seems to come back, despite its own bias, to prove what God's word says about us? Science is proving the existence of the divine in our lives. And so this is what I began to find. And so Dr. Koenig publishes his studies that faith has a powerful impact on anxiety and depression. And so I want to tell you that if you are taking medicine for anxiety and depression, keep taking your medicine. I'm never going to get on here and say that you should go against the advice of your doctor. That would be irresponsible and ignorant. If you are going to a counselor, a psychologist, someone who is helping you work through some of your negative thoughts and the issues, then keep going to that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being prescribed medicine by a doctor to help you with anxiety and depression. There's nothing wrong with going to a counselor, but you better be going to Jesus, because the spiritual side of that has to be addressed. If you just go to a doctor, you're going to treat the body, but the mind and the spirit are not going to be treated by medication. If you go to a psychologist, your mind will be treated, but if there's a problem in your body, it's going to be neglected, and the spirit is going to be neglected. If we deal only with the spiritual side of it and we forsake the physical side of it, we're no different than Scientologists. Are you listening to me? All three of our triune existence, our body, our mind or soul, and our spirit must all be healed when it comes to anxiety and depression. And so we've got to understand that this idea of the spirit being included in the treatment of anxiety and depression is the key, because as I have said over and over and said in the book, every equation that equals healing has to have God as one of the elements. Anytime healing occurs, God has to be in the equation. Otherwise, there is no healing. And so we can't just take medicine and just go to counseling and be healed. We have to invite God into the equation. I could go on and on about this topic for the rest of the day. I wrote almost 40,000 words in this book dealing with this topic, and it's powerful. It's powerful. You realize that the Apostle Paul spends, as he spends a lot of time writing his letters, which are the epistles to the churches, he is constantly talking about how God has instructed us to watch what we think. Paul's dealing with the mind. He's dealing with the mind and the spirit. That's why he tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be renewed, be transformed rather by the renewing of our mind. There's a pattern throughout the Pauline epistles that he is constantly talking to them about their thoughts. I could go on and on. I can't give you everything, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to mindemic.org. Okay? Mindemic, it sounds, it's spelled just like it sounds. It's pandemic, but instead of pan, it's M-I-N. So instead of P-A-N-M-I-N, mindemic.org. That will take you directly to the Amazon page where the book is available in paperback and in the Kindle version. So if you want to read it right away and you don't want to wait on a book to come in the mail, although you can usually get it in a couple of days, get the Kindle version. We did a free promotion. We can't do it again for another 90 days because of Amazon's restrictions. But when we did the Kindle free promotion for 5 days last week, we rose to number 2 on the bestsellers list for the free Kindle version in the mental illness category. So apparently the publisher tells me that is a very, very competitive category, and we got to number 2. Next time we're going to get to number 1. But get the book. It's going to be on audiobook. I'm working on the audio recordings right now through Audible. That'll also be attached to the Amazon page eventually. Take some time for Audible to approve and post the audiobook, but we're working on that. But go there, get it, order it. $14.99 paperback. I believe it's $7.99 for the Kindle version. And please, if you have read the book, if you've bought the book and read it, or you're going to, please go back and leave a review. Amazon lives and dies by the reviews, and so help us out with that. All right, buy it for somebody else. Get it as a gift, just because. It doesn't have to have you don't have to have a special occasion. Get it just because, and give it to somebody who's struggling. You can gift the book on Amazon as well. You can get on there, and there's a button that says "Buy for someone else." And you can send it to them, whether it's the paperback or the Kindle version. I'm very passionate about this. This is not just a book to talk about anxiety and depression. This is a case for healing. I approached it as an investigator and wrote it from the perspective of investigating the issue and making a case for healing. The last chapter wraps it up with the Word of God. It's powerful. I can't wait for you to get a hold of it. Share this with somebody. Go to Amazon, the book page, mindemic.org, and share that on your social media. Take a picture of you with my book and post it on social media. This is powerful stuff. It's important stuff. I want it to help you. I haven't repeated what others have written. This is something new that I've never read, and I want you to be blessed by what the Lord has put in my heart to share with you, all right? God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.